You know that. Power of life and death is in the tongue. Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. What are you sowing? Seeds, seeds. What are the seeds? The words of your mouth. You plant your own garden. Every day you plant your garden. You're either going to reap from it weeds or good fruit. God wants you to have good fruit. Amen? Trust me, I know. I've done enough sowing and gotten a lot of weeds. Amen? I'm learning. 70 years old, I'm finally starting to learn. And then yesterday, I blew it. This morning, I had to apologize. I'm not going to tell you who, where, what. It's my father. I'm 70, he's 96, and we still argue with each other. But that's not what I want. And that's not who I am. I have Christ living in me. That was the old nature. I have a new nature. I don't get in confrontation with people just because I'm trying to prove I'm right. I don't need to prove I'm right. I'm to bring peace into every situation I enter into. That's my goal. That's my job. Because I bring the Prince of Peace with me. And he is with me in that situation. But when I get back into the flesh, which I often do, I have to go back. And I said, okay, Lord, forgive me. He said, now go tell him and ask his forgiveness. Which I did.
Amen?
Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you what. It's much more fun to live this way than to this way. You may get your way, but it doesn't mean you're right, and it does not produce good fruit. Amen. Where that came from, I don't know. But anyways, let me bring to you what I believe God, even during worship, God told me to go there and there and there. So hopefully I'm going to bring to you what he has for us. I've been trying, and I've been doing on Wednesdays and Sundays, is leading up to this time that we're coming into. I believe what he gave us, that word of restoration of 2017, he's coming into a time that's very critical for the church and for the world. Because unless the church gets it right, the world is totally lost without hope. The only hope the world has is the church starts being the church of Jesus Christ. Not a gathering on sometime on a Sunday or sometime on a Wednesday or sometime I go listen to this and I go listen to that. Look, you can come into a service and walk out the same way you came in. Or you can go out transformed, not maybe fully, completely seeing this miraculous transformation, but something has begun. There's a seed been planted. All of a sudden your garden's starting to grow a little differently. It's starting to produce fruit instead of weeds.
Amen.
That only comes through hearing the word of God. And whether you believe it or not, God has set some in the church for your edification, to build you up, to encourage you, to get you going. Well, what you preach doesn't encourage me. It always makes me, Of course it does. Your flesh will always reject the word of God. So you start walking by the Spirit. And if you're walking by the Spirit, you want the Word of God. It's your greatest desire is to hear the Word of God. And not only that, by the hearing, you start speaking the Word of God. Amen? You don't just hear. You're not just hearers. You're doers. God didn't create you for times just to come here and sit. He didn't do that. He created you to be a light. You are a signpost, a lamp in the midst of darkness. And all these things are coming around. They're starting to come around you. And you're going to see more and more of this. But you're also going to see the enemy come in at the same time. And I give him no glory. I give him no more power than he has. But he has. He's a very deceptive. He'll deceive you into thinking, oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You're all right. Everything's fine with you. What did they do in the garden? Oh, don't worry, you're not going to die. God won't let you die. Hallelujah. So I'm going to do as the Lord instructed me to do. And only by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So give me a minute. This is nothing major. I mean, it really isn't. I'm trying to wait on the Lord to which way to go. Okay. I want to take you here first. Because this came to me the other day. I shared it with Diane before I went away. God brought me to this, and I can't remember exactly how. It might have been just in my readings or whatever it was. Yeah, that's now. Thank you, Lord. And I was praying, and I said, okay. I was sitting there, and I said, where should I go to read? Because sometimes God will lead me by the Spirit, not just to read anything. Oh, I read my Bible, so I can put it down now. No. God wants to specifically get to you something he's trying to get across to you. So when you ask him, Lord, what should I read today? He'll instruct you. And he said, go into Psalm 78. I said, okay, Psalm 78. I've read it before, but how many times? I don't know. And I really don't know what it says. And I read it, and this is what came out. This is what really, I think David, who's joined us for the first time today, he said, this is what, this scripture popped out at me. And this is what popped out. Not the whole psalm, but this popped out at me. Listen to this. Verse 40. Listen, those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. How often they provoked him, meaning they provoked God, in the wilderness, and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God. And listen to this. And limited the Holy One of Israel. Do you realize that we have the ability to limit God in what he wants to do in our lives? Think about that. When you think you got it all together, when you think you're all set, and you think you got everything together, it's possible to limit God, what he wants to accomplish in your life. That's scary. That's scary. There's so much more. I truly believe this. I believe that we don't always know what God has planned. But I know this. When we get to heaven, or at least I believe, when we get to heaven, God's going to reveal to us all that he had prepared for us that we missed. All that he was willing to do in our lives, but we missed it. Because we tempted him. We did our thing. We thought we were all right. Everything was fine. Dan and I were talking before service, and we're talking about the difference between the church in China and the church here in America. Great difference. Same Holy Spirit, same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, same God the Father. But look at the difference. They're saying, boy, it's good to wake up and we don't have to worry about dying for our faith or being imprisoned for our faith. And yet, in those very places where all of that is going on, the church is growing immensely. The people are walking by the Spirit in greater dimension than we have seen in years. People don't have doctors. They get healed when they get prayed for. They have no church building and say, okay, there's the church building. We're all going to the church building this Sunday. No. You know what they tell them? Pray and ask the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they knew the government will send spies into that building. So they said, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you where to meet next Sunday. And the people show up. We have become complacent. And don't get me wrong, I'm not picking on you. God loves you, and I'm gonna show you some things God showed me, and I believe it to be absolutely 100% true. While we're in prayer on Thursday night, God gave me a scripture. I had to go look it up because I didn't remember all of it and I didn't remember where it was. But I believe what he is showing and what he's about to do and what he is doing, actually what he is doing and what is going to be revealed. Do you know that God always starts, when he starts, it always starts inwardly before it's revealed outwardly? Your healing will begin inwardly before it will manifest outwardly. Until it becomes solid truth inwardly, it'll never manifest outwardly. It's a work of God, and that's how He begins. He begins it by sowing a seed into your heart. You by watering it, or somebody else helping to water it, or somebody else helping to turn over the ground around it, keep it going, manifest, and then all of a sudden, you start seeing the manifestation of it outwardly. Everything with God is the same way. And I believe what we're seeing now, what we've been preaching, what we've been teaching, what we've been believing God, what we've been seeing and been hearing. Last Wednesday, we had a great time. Spirit of God was just awesome in this place. No, you're not going to miss Him all the time. Amen. But I'm getting off point. I don't want to get off point. Let me read this again. How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power. The day when He redeemed them from the enemy. If God was great enough to deliver you out of the clutches of Satan and brought him into the kingdom of His love and light, then that means tells me that He has great power. And if He could deliver you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and His love, that means He can do anything in your life. There's nothing that's too hard or difficult for God. So if God, and nothing's impossible for Him, as He said, my arm is not too short to save. You can do all things. You can believe for all things through Christ who saved us. We can believe anything. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. If all of this is true, then how are we limiting Him from achieving that which brings Him great glory? Amen? You're going to see the glory of God manifested in the world very soon. I believe this fall you're really going to see what God can do. I really believe that. I've never said that before to anybody or any time. I didn't even think that. But I believe God is saying this fall you're going to see something great start to happen in America. Now, this morning He took me over in Ezekiel 37. This is the prophecy of the dry bones. Remember this? Let me read it to you. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. The bones were just a symbol of the nation of Israel. Well, that's what He said. Then He caused me to pass by, yes, Lord, them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. You've heard messages on this, if you're a Christian, for any length of time. The valley of dry bones. What causes dryness? Lack of water. What is water a symbol of? Holy Spirit. Here's what's going on in the church. The church is dry. That's why people don't go anymore. It's not just here. This is all over. It's dry. So what did they have to do? They had to incorporate these great worship teams, and they put up these great dance things and all this other stuff. And then the pastors had to figure out a way to entertain the people to make sure they'll come back. Pretty soon the preaching was, oh, you're all right, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. God loves you. You're fine. You're going to make it. Everything's good. You're all right. Why? Because if any truth comes out of this word, it's going to bother people. And people who are bothered don't go back where they were bothered at. The only thing that makes a difference is if the Holy Spirit Himself brings a divine revelation of truth into your heart. And if you have not the Spirit of Christ in you this morning, you need to get a hold of Him. How do you do that? Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, Jesus Christ of Nazareth died on the cross for your sins, was buried, rose on the third day, ascended into heaven, and seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you right now. There. But notice what he said. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Well, how do I know I believe in my heart? What did Jesus say? If you love me, you'll do all that I ask you to do. If you love me, you'll just do what I ask you to do. What does God ask me to do? Love God. Love one another. Simple, isn't it? That's the simplest thing in the world. Love God. Love one another. What's the rest all about? The rest all about is trying to get you to come out of that mindset of living as a dejected, distressed individual and bring you into the kingdom of God and make you realize who you are in Christ and that all things are possible for those who believe. All things are possible. Your loved ones can be saved. They can be delivered. They can be healed. All things are possible. What are they waiting on? They're waiting on to see the glory of God on you. Amen? Well, I can't have the glory. Jesus said the same glory, Father, you gave me, I gave to them. If you're born again, you have the glory of God. When we talked about that, that song that was sung, because he lives? No, because he lives in me. Because he lives in me, the same glory that was in him and on him is in me and should be on me. When Moses came down off the mountain, what did it say? He had to cover his face because the glory of God was so strong. What was the difference? Why did he have the glory? He said he spent time with Jesus up on the mountain. Jesus came down off the mountain. It says his raiment was white as snow. He was just covered in the glory of God. What's it going to take for us to reveal the glory? Spend time with Jesus. The more time you spend with him, the more glory rubs off from him, rubs on you. How are we doing so far? So here's what I'm going to do to start with. For those who receive it, there's those who acknowledge, maybe I am a little dry. Maybe not a lot dry, maybe you're fine. But I'm going to talk to them who realize they're dry. And I need more. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've never had enough of God yet. I have never had enough of his anointing yet. I have never had enough of the Holy Spirit's presence yet. I've been in it, and I've been out of it. I've been in it, and I've been out of it. I want to get in it. I want to stay in it. I don't know how much time we got left here. Maybe days, maybe weeks, maybe years. But there's two ways of going through this life. One with and one without. One with God, one without God. Doing it my way, doing it his way. God is not going to leave his path to chase you on your path. Amen? He set the path, he put you on it, and he said, follow me. When Jesus walked, he saw his disciples, he saw the apostles, it became his apostles. And what did he say? He walked by and he said, follow me. And he kept right on walking. He's not going to stop and wait on us. God doesn't change. Now, I'll tell you what he won't do. He won't go so fast that you can't keep up with him. He'll never do. And if he starts to see you weary a little bit, but yet your heart is still after him, he'll pick it up and carry you. He'll help you. He's not going to leave you behind because you got, you know, something's going on in your life and you're having a difficult time. But he said in his presence there's what? Fullness of joy. You got burdens in your life. You got cares in your life. You got friends and family that are unsaved or backslidden. You want to see them again? If he sees that heart of yours that is broken or it's hurting and you're walking with him, do you think he'd turn around and say, well, it's too bad? What did he say? Would a father give a stone to someone who asked for bread? If the master is looking at you and you have been faithful and following him day after day, and trust me, it can become wearisome. It can become tiresome. Now, God knows that. God knows that. But when that starts happening, realize something. Maybe, just maybe, you started falling back into the old rhythm of walking on your own instead of following him. Maybe, just maybe, the things of this world became so important to you, you started carrying the weight of them on your shoulders. Oh, I want to be rich. Oh, I want this. Oh, I want that. Oh, I got to work harder because I got to have this. And I got to harder and I got to buy that. Hallelujah. But God is trying to get across to us, I gave you freedom. And when you walk with me, you walk in freedom. So here's what I want to do. I want to prophesy over you this morning. Well, who do you think you are? Oh, I know who I am. Who do you say you are? I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Jesus is my brother.
Amen.
Amen. I was given his holy name to speak in his holy name. That means God gave me authority to prophesy over you.
Amen.
But you don't have to receive it. You don't have to receive it. That's the good news. God is so great. You can say, nah, I'm not interested. Oh, I don't believe it. Oh, that's not for me. Oh, I'm fine. I don't need any of that. What are we talking about? More of the Holy Spirit. More of him in our lives. More. More. As I explained to you before, and I said to you once before, we saw things that only God could do. We've experienced things. Sometimes when you go through difficult things, at the moment you're going through them, you don't realize the importance of them. I'm serious. You don't see it. Because of what we went through with our first son, Christopher, we went places, saw things, experienced things that I guarantee most of you have never seen or experienced. I saw a woman totally blind with her gray eyes, gray, and she was feeling along. She was coming we were sitting in a special section, and she was walking along like this. She touching us, feeling us, walking along like this, totally blind. We saw her eyes get opened. We sat next to a person that had a leg about 6 inches shorter than the other one and watched it grow out. I got touched by the Holy Spirit like I've never, ever been touched by the Holy Spirit. I got slammed and I got thrown about 5 feet, literally, in the air. We saw things and experienced things that only God. And you know where we did that? In a Catholic service. By a Catholic priest. Amen. You think God use anybody?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? God use anybody. Look. Whatever is and what will be. But don't you start looking and determining, oh, well, I don't trust that one and I don't trust that. You go to the wrong church, you go over it. Don't do that.
Amen.
What you do is keep your eyes on Jesus. And I have been there. I have done it wrong. I have missed the mark many times by my judgmental attitudes. And I had to repent before God many times, and I still do at times. But I want you to know something. Something is coming. God is about to do something great. You will see, and you will experience things that you've never thought possible in your life. Amen? Because you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you will do things you never thought you'd do before. You will lay hands on people and watch them get healed. You will see the miracles. Because you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the Holy Spirit will work through you if you let Him. If you let Him. Things that you and you're deep in your heart, you never said to anybody, God already sees. God already heard the voice that you spoke to Him in private that nobody else could hear. There's things you've said to Him that He heard. And you see, just because you don't see it happening at the moment doesn't mean it's not coming to pass. He said, if you ask, you shall receive. Don't doubt Him. Don't waver at His promise to you. Watch what God will do. There's things coming. Praise God. Amen. So I'm going to prophesy over you. Then I'm going to give you another word for the church, and I believe the church. The word church in the scriptures means called out ones, Ecclesiastes. And I'm probably saying it wrong, excuse me. They're the called out ones. And the Strong's, it actually says those who are called out of their homes and brought together in a building or in a congregation to worship their God. That's what it means. Amen? It's not this building necessarily. But it's because God is graceful. We have an air conditioner on this morning. It may not feel like it, but we do. And in the wintertime we have heat on because God is gracious towards us. He's not making us meet out there in the cold and the rain and this snow. But this isn't the church. The church are you. Right. You're called out. We meet together. Why do we meet together? So that each part can have its part. If you do what God called you to do, I do what God called me to do. It says when we come together, there's a unity of love and peace, and it produces the perfect Christ. It produces each part of you make up His body. And each part, when we come together and you do what God has anointed you for, what the Holy Spirit's moving on you to do, and what's moving on me to do, the church of Jesus Christ, I'm going to get off just a little bit, please, and you've heard me say this before. The church of Jesus Christ was never meant for one person to stand up front and tell you what to do. Amen? It's meant that each part in a service would do its part. And in doing so, will reveal the fullness and the perfection of Jesus Christ. But when the parts that God has put together limit Him, or is not doing as He instructed them to do, we all suffer. Amen? I mean, seriously. You wonder why there's no power in the church, because the church is so fragmented, each doing its own part in its own thing, and it's not fulfilling its purpose that God created it for. And I'm not picking on it. It's what the Word of God says. In that unity, in that coming together, each part playing its part, what happens is there's power. There's power being released. So we come in here, we may worship, all of a sudden somebody will stand up and give a word. Somebody over here then will stand up and give a word. Somebody will walk over and say, the Holy Spirit's leading me to lay hands on you, pray for you. People are healed, set free, saved. Redeemed, because all the parts are working. God instructed it. Part of that is cleaning the church. Part of that is being a teacher in the children's ministry. Part of all those parts. Well, just because I don't want to do it, Well, God said, look, each part is important. It doesn't matter what part you're playing. You fulfill your purpose, you will get the reward you deserve when you get there. Hallelujah. I don't even know how I got on that stuff. Let me get back over here. I'm going to preach. I'm going to speak. And I'm going to prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. I'm going to speak exactly the words that God instructed this prophet to prophesy. Amen. He asked a question. Can these bones live? In other words, is there any life left in them? And the prophet said to God, I don't know. Lord, you know. See, I don't know your hearts. I don't know your hearts. Only God does. I'm asking you now, shut down the thinking part for a moment. And let the Spirit of God come forth. Your Spirit and His Spirit coming forth. Because everybody's thinking of something, and you know, I didn't like what he said there, or maybe he's right over there, or whatever. When we get thinking and we're trying to decipher what's going on, sometimes we miss the Spirit of God. I'm not telling you you don't go back later on and search out the Scriptures. Do that. If I'm wrong, praise God, you have every right to come to me and tell me. But what I want you to do now is be still, hear the voice of God, and say in Christ, quietly, or say, Lord, is he speaking to me? If this is for me, Lord, I receive it now according to the word spoken. As long as it lines up with God's will and purpose. I don't want you to. Again, I'm not saying you got to dispense with thinking. Just for a moment, I want to hear what the voice of the Spirit is. You'll know if you receive. You'll know. Is there some dryness in you? Have you been away for a long time from the very presence of God? Have you been walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit for any length of time? Have you been angry, upset, frustrated, fearful? Have you lost joy of being in the presence of God? Have you lost your peace? Have you got to a place where you could care less whether you're around the brethren? You'd just as soon be out there with the unsaved as you would with the saved? Hallelujah. Maybe that's for you then this morning. Again, I don't know. He said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit, a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray right now, breathe afresh on us and in us. Holy Spirit of God, let the breath of God fill us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Fill us again, Almighty God. Fill us again. And he said, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you, connections. He'll connect us, divine connection. Remember that? I'll put sinews on you. I'll bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. Receive now, oh, a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit as you breathe afresh on us, Lord. In Jesus' precious holy name, now, Lord, in Jesus' name, In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I receive it, Father. I receive it, Lord, right now. I receive it right now, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Receive it, Lord, right now. Receive it, Father. The wind and the breath of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Father. Lord, more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive us, Father. Thank you, Lord. We want to drink from the fountain of life. We want to drink, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Father. You said it in Joel 2:20. You said, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. Pour out your Spirit, Father. We welcome it. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Lord. Father, all those who are thirsty this morning, I pray in the name of Jesus, don't let them leave without being filled. They came in empty, Lord. I pray that they go home filled. Fresh anointing, fresh infilling, fresh in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. As we were sitting here Thursday evening and we're in prayer, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Towards the end of the prayer, God gave me this scripture. He jumped in at me and I said, okay, Lord, I'll have to look it up. I remember the scripture. I think I've even spoken it here. I'm positive I have. But I believe that what we're about to see happen is coming to pass. In Haggai chapter 2, hallelujah. If you remember in chapter 1, I read that not too long ago, and he was talking about you're not seeing the blessing of God in your life. And he said, you've done all that you thought you were supposed to do, and yet you haven't seen the blessings that come. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. on your life. And what God said to the people was, consider your ways. If you're not seeing the promise of God and you've found the promise, you're standing on a promise, you're speaking the promise, you're doing what you believe you're supposed to be doing and you're not seeing it, he said, consider your ways. There's something amiss someplace, he says. And the thing he was talking about was that you were more busy taking care of your own life than you were of God's temple. And he said, you went home, you put paneling on your home, you did all this stuff in your home, but you forgot all about my temple. I want to say this to you, and because I believe it to be true, and I know some people may not agree with me, but we know the temple of the Holy Spirit is us. Amen. Right? But there is a natural temple and there's a spiritual temple. So you can be trying to take care of the natural temple and forgetting about the spiritual. Or you'll be taking care of the spiritual without taking care of the natural. He said, faith without works is dead. So we could be doing what we think is all the right things and still miss it. Because we forgot to do what God instructed us to do, considering this is, whether you believe it or not, this is part of God's, this is His. This building is His. Amen? We got a hole in the front of this church, in the front entranceway, that's got a piece of sheetrock in that's the wrong size, been in there for 3 years. And nobody's thought about fixing it. We've actually had people come in here and say they don't want to come to this church because it wasn't fancy enough for them. And I'm not asking you to make this fancy. I could care less about fancy. Trust me, this is where we were put. God gave us this building, and it's His building, and we thank God for it. But I don't need fancy. But we can't ignore those things either. Just because you could say to someone, I love you, because you're my sister in Christ, and I see her need, and I got the way to take care of that need, and I don't do it. Yeah, I'm taking the inside. Yeah, my heart's right. But I'm not doing anything about it. Both things need to be done in our lives. Not ignoring the other. But when you set your heart to do those things, when you start getting your eyes off of self and on to God and to others. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us to consider others before we even consider ourselves. I'd rather see you blessed than me blessed. That's what he's talking about. I know if I see you blessed and I rejoice in your blessing, I'm going to be blessed. My father's here. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I will. Because I'm talking about myself, but I'm also going to talk about him a little bit. Maybe not in the most flattering way. Of myself, because I'll expose what went on when I messed up. And I say, I messed up. All right? I'm doing this for purpose, not to anything else. All right? How many of you know the small things is what usually trips you up? The big things you're able to, yeah, right, get away from me. But it's those small things. And so, my father and I just spent, and Sally was with us. We drove up from Florida, so we spent 2 days in the car together through terrible traffic, terrible heat. Some of the temperature outside was over 100 degrees as we were going through those areas. We were caught in traffic for 2 hours of backup, doing less than 5 miles an hour for a couple hours. I mean, you can get under some, yeah. Things should start getting a little, none of that happened. None of it happened. We did fine. We got up here, and everything's fine. He stayed with us for a while, and so yesterday, I went to wash clothes. Amen. Throwing them into laundry. Dad, you got any clothes? Sure. Give me your clothes. Do the clothes. Take them out of the dryer. Fold them. Hand them out. He goes, where's my stuff? Well, I gave you. Here. That's not all. There's more. No, there's not. That's all there was. No, there isn't. There's got to be more. I put more. Well, why? And you know what? How many know that God showed me what happened? Had nothing to do with him. It was all about me. And so I got over stupid laundry. Went off on him. God revealed why. Has nothing to do with him. It was all about me. I'm not going to tell you that part. It's not important. It was for me personally. So I went to bed, and I was never go to bed angry. Went to bed. God was dealing with me. And I said, forgive me, Father. He said, yeah, you tell me. He said, now tell him. Well, it was late at night, so I waited till the morning. Well, no, it was practical at that point. It was like 10:30 or something like that. Anyways, got up this morning, and 5 o'clock, I'm getting ready. Dad didn't get out of bed for a while. When he got up, I went into the bedroom, and I said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gone like that. I shouldn't have said those things. I apologize. I ask your forgiveness. So we talked and forgave and went on. Everything's fine. But the clothes still weren't there. Didn't change anything. Half hour later, Sally comes and says to him, check that. They're not in there. Check that. How would they get in there? Check that. Guess where they were? There. But I want you to see what I saw. God did exactly what he wanted to do. First of all, he dealt with me. And when I accepted to repent and confess and apologize, he then revealed. Then he revealed. You see how God works? Unless you're willing to humble yourself through the mighty hand of God, he said he will exalt you. In other words, he'll reveal. What will he reveal? That which is missing in your life. Boy, it was so clear to me. It was so clear to me. There are things in your lives that is limiting God from bringing revealing things to you. You have questions. Why did this happen? How come this is this way? How come that's going on? Maybe what you need to do is humble yourself before God. And I'm taking no glory for this. It was all God's grace. It was all his mercy. It was all about him. It had nothing to do with me. It was God working in me and through me to reveal something that was missing. Now, I could have prayed and said, okay, Holy Spirit, where is this stuff? But I believe God was trying to do something greater and something deeper than revealing where the clothes were. That was nothing. That was nothing. I mean, that wasn't like a whole bunch. That was two pieces of clothing. There was probably go to Walmart and buy them for $15. It's nothing. But what he did show me was this. As long as I stay stubborn, it limits him. Hallelujah. How are we doing? So, see? Confess your faults. Now listen, here's what God says. Here's what he brought to me. He said, according to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Egypt is a symbol of the world. God made a covenant through his son Jesus Christ with you when he brought you up out of the world. And he chose you. Amen? Hallelujah. So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. God says his spirit is still here. Don't be afraid. Remember I said to you before, I don't want to miss it? You ain't going to miss it because the Spirit of God is still here. How do I know the Spirit of God is still here? Because there's at least two or three here filled with the Spirit of God still seeking Him. So if two or three are gathered in His name, He is here in the midst of us. Hallelujah. Listen. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. And as come to the desire of all nations, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts, and the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. There's coming a time. I believe it to be soon, and I believe it to be this fall. I could be wrong on timing. I'm not God. But I say this to you. Get ready. And if you're not walking by the Spirit, you might miss the whole thing. You might miss the whole thing. He said, watch and pray. Because He's coming back. We know He hasn't left us. He knows He'll never forgive or leave us, nor forsake us. But there's a difference between saved and going home and living like the rest of the world and being saved, living like the body in the body in the church of Jesus Christ. When we walk in this light, in this world out here, darkness gets away from us. Demons run from you. They're feared because you are walking in the light. And the light is what stops them and destroys their walk. Amen? Hallelujah. I didn't get into the message. We'll start it next week. I believe that's what God has for us. He said it. Okay, Lord. I'll read this one to you too. God is going to do some wondrous things. Some of you are sitting here right now saying, well, He won't use me, or well, what am I... Whoa, you're wrong. You are so wrong. He said He took the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Here's what He told me to leave you with. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, the light, the kings, to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of the Lord, is arising on you. Get ready. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let it arise on me, Father. Let it arise on me. Let the glory of the Lord arise on me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. He finishes it with, lift up your eyes all around and see they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. Truly, Father, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You said, Lord, a merry heart is like a good medicine. And we are filled with the joy, filled with the power of the living God, filled to overflowing with your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray a blessing on those who are here today. I pray, Almighty God, that when they leave this place, Father, they leave filled with you. I pray, Father, right now, that the meal that they eat be the meal that you prepared for them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.